Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
We are getting loopy this week with some experimental physics as we travel to the little town of Mercer, Ohio, and not anywhere in Sweden to experience the art of cosmic tales from the Crit Loop. This is your project overseer, scientist, Patrick, and joining me in odd sci-fi tales to delight and tickle your fancy are my five friends and your players. To my far left, a time-displaced little girl throwing rocks in glass houses. It's Jabert jabbering away as Jamfram.
Wimmy wham. Whoa, no. What was that? Is that a portal or something? No.
Across the digital table for me, a little boy who puts his soul into a robot. It's Miles. Make him believe it's redacted.
Good evening.
To my right, the Russo brothers spending like $250 million of Netflix's money. It's Tyler talking to Spray Deer.
It's free money. I love it.
To my immediate left, a doppelganger from another universe. Stuck in this one, we got Drew Dine to play Zilix Fell.
The art book was better.
And across from him, a time-displaced child who leaps forward several decades all at once. It's none other than Rebecca rolling with Asher and Sky.
Hello.
I started with Tales from a Loop, and I got to the Electric State in the middle of there. It's all based on the same Scandinavian artist whose name escapes
Simon
me.
Simon Stålenhag?
Stålberg or something along those lines. It's great, great artwork. I don't think you need to just like make everything. There's like a TTRPG. There's a TV show. There's now a very expensive movie.
There's like two different TTRPGs based on that book.
Well, wait, I mean, to be fair, they're
making
Netflix
TTRPGs
movie is,
out of anything.
Yeah, but the Netflix movie is based on a different set of things, right? From his artwork? It's not Tales of the Loop, right?
It's not based on it's not based on Tales of the Loop. It's based on another piece of his artwork, which is specifically has a small robot in all the pieces. In a similar way that Tales from the Loop had like Stranger Things aged children kind of wandering around. It is Simon Stålenhag.
You mean just children?
Yeah, that like right in the middle kind of.
I'm sorry,
between
Miles.
Kids
Stranger
and
Things
teens.
Stranger Things aged children are 23.
Well, not in season one, they're not.
Oh, yeah.
Bones.
You know, I saw there was like a new, or they're like kickstarting a, or I can't remember. There's a TTRPG coming out for that's set in like the Thousand Acre Woods.
The Hundred Acre Woods?
No, the Thousand. Legally distinct.
Yeah, they leveled up. These ones are 10 times better.
10 times the acres of woods. No, yeah, I might have meant the Hundred Acre Woods.
We have Penny the Woo instead. It's much better. Yeah, but don't call it Stargate. It's the Foggate.
Ghost Fog, get it?
And instead of Tigger, we have no.
It's still
lion.
Tigger.
No, we can't say. You can't say that. We can't say have any other name that rhymes with it.
Yeah, when I had created when Patrick was so mad at me for making a Winnie the Pooh gag.
And Jabert and I have a friend who's making a guy character in our next campaign, our IRL table campaign. And now I'm pushing him to throw in those Winnie the Pooh and other bear jokes.
His last character was Scruff McGruff, the crime dog. It was amazing.
He just wanted to get his family out of goblin jail. That's his character's arc. He earned that amount of gold like in book one, then just carried it through. Goblin jail is not a very hefty fine.
No. Yeah, anyway, we got to the end of the thing and he didn't understand like how to spend money on things, and so we got to the end and he had something like 80 grand and he's like, is that enough to get my parents out of goblin jail?
you can hear Scruff McGruff. That's right now on the Patreon. Our adventures in Agents of Edgewatch, which is very salty language, mostly because of our friend Cooper.
Yeah,
she curses a lot. Yeah, a little experiment if you want to hear even Jabert. Can you believe that?
Can you imagine
Jabert curses every once in a while?
I'm
he
shocked.
Lets out a curse word on that podcast.
I have an oopsie word,
as I call them.
Are you guys ready to get back into the Starfinder this week?
I'm ready to fight anything that has antlers on it that you want us to fight.
Well, you're not ready, Tyler. You're not even close to ready, because we got to talk about what happened last time on Cosmic Crit. You all returned to Viridian Colony and met with Ambassador Adamake from Absalom, and she toured the colony while her attaché Nyssa the Pathra warned Jamfram about the General Assad from the Vescarium. After bargaining 25% tariffs down to 0%, Adamake left, and you all learned 2 weeks later that a Vescarium dreadnought had arrived in orbit. Envoy Net-Yi Javav let you know that Assad was hunting big game in the frozen north, and so you traveled there and found his shuttle, and buried beneath some snow a glowing Shashimono. Just then, large horned creatures came out making sounds like a late night giraffe. I listened to my late night giraffe sound effect. I might have manipulated it slightly for the podcast, but it's stellar. I'm super. Well, first of all, you should Google it just to realize how close I was. But yes, it's very good. What's wrong with that last time on? Or is anything wrong with that?
Two in a row.
Ooh, I'll never tell. I mean, I will if you guess that and that's the correct thing, but
I see something wrong. However, I only know half of what's wrong about it. So I'm afraid to say anything.
Let Drew talk about it first. Drew? Okay,
so you've got Ambassador Adamake. I have this written down as a pact emissary, not an ambassador.
That is correct. Ambassador and emissary, very different roles. You've got that one locked in, even though Ambassador Adamake from Absalom seems like it flows a lot better.
Yeah.
It is not correct. You know what, Drew? You've earned 1.5 points, because that's a hard one. 1.5. There you go. Who's got another?
Oh, I think it's just a typo. Never mind.
Yeah, sorry. I might have mixed up my there in this a few times.
It's a different word. So but the race isn't called a Pathra. It's called a Patra.
Oh yeah, no.
Okay, that was just a typo. Okay. Sorry.
I have spelled that and pronounced that wrong for 7 years. So
okay,
we're not correct now
today.
That's fair.
Patrick, we bargained the tariffs from 30% to 0%.
That is correct. That's a larger number. Those are different numbers.
That was the one that I might know.
Sorry.
You would think 25%, just an insane amount to tariff a friendly colony, but no. They started at 30%. Psychopaths. All right.
I can't believe that book was written in 2020.
You need one more. For those of us that have seen Mickey 17 and folks listening out there, that movie was filmed in like 2022 as well, and was like super pretty. It has a presidential like figure getting grazed by an assassin's bullet. It's like, whoa.
That one was also fictional.
Bongjuko. We got 2.5 points on the board. We just need one more thing that's wrong with this last time on. Rebecca, you close?
No.
All right. Well, if no one's got anything, then nobody.
Wait. It's not General Assad. Did somebody say this already?
No. We said that.
It's Brigadier Assad.
Those are different roles, and you are correct.
Oh, well done, Rebecca.
I don't want to be that guy. But Brigadier General is typically the full title of what that is.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, Rebecca. Drew's right. It's typically the correct thing. Oh, nobody gets a reroll.
Rebecca, go up and slap that man.
You have personally corrected stuff that we've gotten.
I'm also team slap Drew.
Can I give it a shot again?
Since
my thing was
bull.
It wasn't a dreadnought. It was a.
Oh, you're so close. You got this.
Oh, gosh. What kind of ship was it? Ah, no.
It's one step down from a dreadnought.
A carrier? I got nothing. Oh, a destroyer, maybe?
So close.
What was it?
Well, maybe Miles wants to save the day.
Oh, maybe Miles.
Miles saves Miles, the day. Not only is that incorrect, but there's one other thing that you can correct here and be the hero.
You can be my hero, baby. You can take
You just
my
can just guess away. Another starship.
Oh, no.
Another is huge it a starship.
Nautilus class?
No.
Nautilus is a submarine.
Yeah, I understand yeah. that. They're made up words.
I'm pretty sure I described it as a battle cruiser.
Battle cruiser. Yeah.
Battle cruiser. And the Patra's name was Brissa, not Nissa. Ah. So different. I'm going to give it to you because Drew did get that 0.5 earlier. And because he was being semantic, and technically correct, my favorite kind of correct. It's all Drew. You know what? But only Drew is allowed to use the reroll, unfortunately. So
yeah,
there's a little stipulation on there. But
that's how they get you.
Still, you've earned it. One of you has earned it.
I bet there's not have a reroll at all.
You know what? You're right. No one deserves it, Miles. Way to go. No, we are in the midst of battle. Once more, you find yourself into the frozen north of New Galerion here. This time facing down a trio of what looks like giant meat-eater kind of cat-like creatures with very large antlers, making those sexy late-night giraffe sounds.
I don't know who drew these antlers, but someone needs to learn to do their giraffe cantlers. They're cats. No.
Oh man, that'd be too good.
That's definitely not wrong.
These are Varian Arabooks, of course.
Arabooks, like
Arabooks, giant deer-like.
They're not
creatures.
They
have antlers.
Yes, but yeah, that's so not the body type.
Why did I write down horned balawards? Is that not what you told us they were?
Oh, they are. They are like the creature type that you're going up against is a very variant. But these guys are bellowing and they got horns. That is correct, Rebecca. Thank you for reminding me. I'll make sure not to put that in next week's list.
I'm going to die.
let's roll into initiative turn. Or is that a thing that we're going to do this? Yes, these things are between you and what looks like perhaps where the Brigadier General Assad has fallen. So initiative rolls into the turn order and we'll get a little combat started this week.
Is the Brigadier General higher level than us?
You could not know that from just seeing his Sashimono.
Is it Sashimono doesn't have his level like Adrasa's always did?
Yeah. Adrasa's like level 20. No,
Adrasa's Sashimono just had Int of 8 on the up the side.
Int of 8. Boom. And I'm going to roll for the horned bellowers. I'm going to roll pretty bad for the bellowers. Okay. Well, it looks like our top dog in the last time on trivia is going first. Drew, Zilix is up first. What would you like to do here? You guys have spilled out of, I'm guessing, Redacted's vehicle in order to go check on the Brigadier, but...
Do you think we would have been smart enough to be armed when we stepped out of the car?
I don't know. You tell me. What do you think? You guys smart?
Yeah, I think of Earl of 12 above 50%. We would have been smart enough. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. You pull out a weapon before these things have crawled out of their cavern.
All right, and we are going to aim at, let's say, this one in the center here. And we're going to boost and shoot.
Wah-bah.
It's a 25.
A great shot, and that is a hit against EAC.
So that is going to be 12 plus. Sorry, I know this every week that I have to relook up what my boost is. I'm sorry.
Drew, I went to college with you. I know you're an intelligent person, and you can just add this into the macro at any point, including right now. Just add a d6 into the macro so you'll never have to do this again.
So it's 18 plus 7, so that is...
Bye. Okay, boom. A very solid hit on this one in the middle as your laser seems to sear through its wintry pelt. It doesn't look happy, obviously, as you wouldn't.
To be fair, it didn't look happy before.
Solid hit. No, but now the grunts have gone to more growls, like a growling giraffe. Jamfram, you are up next, sir. What do you got, Jabert? What do you want to do?
Let's see, how far away are these guys? They are, go back in, 35 feet. Oh boy, far away. Far away is how far away they are. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the other side of a rock here, it seems, so.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really take into account the rocky terrain.
Yeah.
Setting this up, I didn't think it was gonna be that big of a factor, but here we are.
Well, here we are. And these guys look like, there's like, they don't look like they have a lot of reach, I don't guess. Just because, not trying to metagame too hard here, but, you know, they're not like tall, large creatures. They're just like, you know, big.
They're large, though. They're probably like a good 10 feet long or so and standing up, you know, with their horns probably over 10 feet tall.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but
that's large. They got some reach with those antlers.
One, two, three, four, five. Well, I think that's as far as I can get anyway. So I move this far, and then I align my shield, and I lift or raise my shield against, I guess, this one right here. One who's the closest to me.
Got it.
And I go bang, bang, bang with my shield and my sword.
Oh, you're making a ruckus?
Making a big old ruckus tuckus.
The important thing is, does Jamfram actually say bang, bang, bang when he does it as well?
I go bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, it's classic.
Then we're on to Asher and Sky, who, middle of the turn order, but did roll a natural one on initiative, which is kind of funny.
Yep.
Still not last. Okay. Can't be last.
Asher's going to come up sort of behind this rocky outcropping is what it looks like.
Yep, just where Jamfram was.
Yep, and I'm going to shoot over the rock at the one furthest to the north.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, there's one to the far north, there's one to the far south, and one right here in the middle is one Jam or Zilix hit. So go ahead and make that trick, make that attack. Got here. Probably pretty easy to hit these bad boys. Ooh, great. Yeah.
23 or lower on the trick, ooh, and 25 to hit.
Yes, tricked and hit.
Sorry, nice. Is that damage correct?
That's a lot of damage, folks.
A lot of damage, isn't it?
Can we get a roll check on that damage?
Rolled on like the top side of almost every single damage one. Dice.
Yeah.
I guess that.
So 44 damage altogether. This is fire.
Gosh. Okay. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's doing additional damage here, but these things are definitely not resistant to heat, not something that they have to deal with a lot in this Arctic environment. That will make this one flat-footed here to the north. And yeah, still not my turn. Redacted, you are next, Miles.
Okay, I think for now I'm just going to take a shot at the one that's flat-footed.
Okay. From the cockpit.
Boop, 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 boop.
Of the space wag mech.
Oh.
Single shot. 18. Against flat-footed is a miss. Unfortunately. Any move action? Anything else you want to do?
Not right now, no.
Okay, Pradier, Tyler, you're also getting to go.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to go.
Patrick, promise me you'll try to kill me?
I make no promises. You do something that's threatening to these things and maybe they'll target you. I'm in the giant giraffe sounding horned bellower mines right now. So,
oh, Jabert, I'm so sorry about this, Jabert.
Do what? Oh no, I don't like it already.
I'm so sorry.
No,
it looks like you've moved forward. And
no, he's trying to get killed effect. So he can play. He's trying to get killed so he can play a soldier instead.
Strike me down and I'll become more powerful than you can ever imagine.
I need a job opening in the soldier department as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you'd have to kill the current soldier in some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
No. I'm not trying to kill Jamfram, but I am going to force him to make a will save. Everybody with it. But I think he's the only ally, right? Yes.
No.
Yes.
Everybody within 20 feet makes a will save.
Oh, will you say?
Oh, oh my gosh, Jamfram.
I'm the willfulest little bear.
I'm sorry I took
all
that 20 away from a possible attack roll.
Ooh, some good rolls over here and some bad rolls from the horned bellowers. What are you casting?
Synaptic pulse.
Ooh, classic.
A beefy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. DC 21.
Well, I've got two fails and a success.
I'll take it. They are the ones that failed are stunned.
No! That reduces the amount that I can kill you, though, by a great deal.
Mm-hmm. No,
is
I'm
this
going
what
to,
it feels like? Is
I'm
this
going
what,
to turn tail if, and run away very quickly.
This is what it feels like getting synaptic pulsed.
Yeah, that is the, okay. The pulsiest.
All right. Well, that will bring us to their turn, but if they are stunned, they can't do anything but mental actions. Is that right?
Is that right? Yeah, they can think about their life choices.
Those two that can't do anything are thinking of how much they want to kill you right now. I'd run off this map if I were you. This one that is unaffected. I mean, to be fair, you are closest to it, but Jamfram did make a bunch of noise, so I'm going to roll randomly.
I appreciate that.
These unstunned ones to deal. Oh, he's going right by you, and you technically can make an attack of opportunity if you have something out.
I might
Tyler, because it's moving up to ya boy, Jamfram.
I'm just gonna roll a d20 and I'll worry about it if it's high. That's not gonna do it.
What is it?
Oh, it'd be what, 13 plus 5?
Oh, that's 18. A fail.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm sorry.
You got to trust me.
So this one is going to move up and is going to, from about 10 feet away, Jamfram, try to hit you with the antlers. Going to try and kind of clang into your shield.
Bow. Oh, good. You successfully hit my shield.
I think I got a success here. Yes, and reverberating through the shield to jack up your arms is a little bit of bludgeoning as they push the shield in, and you feel, yeah, some sonic ringing out from these antlers, some sound waves kind of traveling down your arm.
Ooh, my.
Some D4, D6. Okay, it is 20 points of bludgeoning? Yes, bludgeoning damage, 20 points, and 5 points of sonic.
Goodness.
20 that five. Is...
Got it.
Yes, that is their turn as we go back to Drew. Looks still.
Can I roll a life science on these dudes?
Yep.
Oh, almost a 19. It's a 25.
That is a success. To find out, indeed, these are horned bellowers. See denizens of the caves of the frozen north here. What would you like to know about them?
What do they taste like? Nope,
man,
I'm kidding.
Great question.
Let's get special attacks.
Only one way to find out. They do have a ranged attack called Antler Reverberation, where they can like smack their antlers against something to create a sonic attack, which can stagger a foe that fails a fortitude save, but also has, it targets EAC as a sonic damaging effect, has the deafen critical hit effect. Antler Reverberation. So you got that to worry about.
Nice. Love it.
Once these guys become unstunned, ooh, you gotta worry about that reverberation. The reverberation retaliation is what they'll call it. What would you like to do, Drew?
I think the only one I have a clear shot on now without shooting through my friends is the one towards the south here. So I'm going to boost and shoot.
I'll allow it. This one's taken no damage, but it's been stunned with a synaptic pulse.
Oh, it's 22?
With a unimpeded shot, that is a hit.
Booyah, so that's going to be 12 plus 3 for 15.
Near minimum damage, yikes, but still a hit on that one, first hit on that one. Jamfram, you're up next.
Let's take a look here. He stopped 10 feet away from me, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, great.
But you've got your flanking...
somebody braidier right on the opposite side of this one. If you care about that, it will it will provoke two attacks of opportunity to move into flanking. But
right, yeah, okay, I'll take a 5 foot step forward.
All right, that makes a lot more sense tactically.
And I'll strike mightily against this guy. Most
get up past those horns that just hit you and.
23
that is a hit against KAC.
All right, 35 points of damage.
Oakley Dougley, bam. A solid hit on this one in the middle. And Asher and Sky, we're back to you.
All righty, I'm going to shoot again at the one that I shot at before. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a natural 20. Does the trick go off too?
Guys, just leave that one for Asher and Sky. Apparently. What do you roll for the trick?
It's a 10. CR 10.
That is a trick.
Oh, good. All right. So I can barely read that. Like, red on purple text is not very legible.
Let's give a critical shout out to a Patreon supporter at the good old Flanking Buddies level or above. Let's do some we haven't done in a while. David T, our good friend David, thank you so much for your support. Gosh, over 4 years? About 4 years of Flanking Buddies. Rebecca, would you like a card from the Critical Hit deck? Something we don't do very often on this podcast, but...
You know, let's do it. Yeah.
You always have the option to deny it if it's not a double damage card, so... Mm-hmm. Do you have any other critical effects on your pistol besides...
Just 1d4 burn.
Burn, yeah. Okay. Energy damage. Well, this one... this one seems pretty good for you. All right, so first of all, buffeted about. The target is flat-footed for 1d4 rounds.
Which can be
hilarious. But there's also an extreme fire critical effect. And it is basically you also get your critical burn damage, but each time the target would lose a burning condition, reduce the damage dice by half instead. So it takes longer for the burn to go away. So burn, and do you want to roll a d4 for how long it's flat-footed?
Sure. 3 rounds?
Okay, well, don't think it's going to live that long, but what's the damage on the crit?
47.
Okay. Is that right?
Do you not double the trick attack damage in Starfinder? I can't ever remember.
Oh.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yes, you do. Yes, okay. It's more than that. Yeah. Thank you, Tyler.
No worries. I didn't know.
Is it?
I was like, maybe that's a Pathfinderism.
69?
Is it 69 damage?
Nice.
It's 69 damage. Nice.
Tyler just saved us from missing the coolest number. All right, well, now I have to bust out a calculator for this math. All right, it's still alive, but that nearly killed it. So this
and it's burning.
This burning damage, yes, can potentially come into effect here. Go ahead and roll that now, and I will mark it on the character for its turn. Maximum burn damage. Yeah, it might burn out for too long, even if you don't kill it next turn. That will take us to Redacted. Your turn, Miles.
All right, so if that one is pretty much taken care of.
You might as well not finish it off. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You've got this one to the south that's taken very little damage, and got a both the other ones, you have a pretty clear shot too.
Yeah, I'll take a shot at the center one.
Okay, go right ahead.
All righty.
Oh,
that's
my goodness,
a natural 20.
Nice.
Nah, back to back.
What's happening?
I don't know. You guys got good all of a sudden. Oh, yeah. Well, it's also been a while, but I think an OG Flanking Buddy. Let's give a shout out to Hyaniel's Wraith. Thank you so much for your support over the years. Been a while since we've chatted, but we appreciate you. Miles, another crit. I'm going to pull another crit card for you, man. I'm feeling it tonight. You got, first of all, I don't feel I mean, I might have to like throw like five more of these horn bellowers at you guys at this rate. But
no, look, this is the first time that we've rolled decently as a group in years.
So this fight was all, I mean, I do gear up the fights because there's five of you and the APs are usually geared for four PCs. There were only supposed to be two of these horn bellowers. So it's already like 150% of what this fight was supposed to be.
I promise I will go back to rolling like garbage in like 15 minutes.
We should have made it four horn bellowers at the very least. You do kinetic damage. You got bloody blow, Miles. Critical effect wound. Critical effect wound. So if you would like to roll a d20, I'll bring up that wound chart.
All right.
Which is my least favorite to find in Archive of Nethys. There we go. All right. What you got?
18.
18 is a vital organ. My goodness. Let me roll fortitude save for the horned bellower. Okay. Well, it has saved against it, but a vital organ is con damage, which is like, I think the worst. I guess losing an arm or a leg is pretty bad, but con damage is brutal. What is your crit damage, though? It looks like we've gotten pretty good numbers here.
Yeah, so it's a 35?
35, okay. All right, that one is not bloodied yet, but still very hurt from another crit. No pressure, Tyler, but you're going to have to roll a 20 on your attack now.
I mean, I don't attack things. It ain't me.
You attacked last turn! You made that.
That was a synaptic pulse. I didn't have to roll for that.
No, you made an attack of opportunity.
Oh, the attack of opportunity.
It didn't connect, but
I didn't think. I don't even. Yeah.
That counts.
This is the Brigadier General in the back here, correct?
I mean, yes, you can see a Sashimono poking out of the snow.
Quick rules clarification for you, Patrick. Mm-hmm. Or I guess a question for me. Are you going to include him? If I do an area spell, are you going to include him in that? Are you going to make me think about that?
I mean, yes, if it would hit him.
Brutal.
Yeah, the question is, are you going to include him in that?
Yeah, I was about to say. That's... I'm not doing anything.
You're a big meanie.
He's right. Unconscious on the ground. I don't really have a option for him there to roll out the way.
Brigadier General, duck!
I know. Now I'm trying to think, if we murder the Brigadier General, can we just take his stuff? This would be, nobody's out here, they won't know.
The spy satellite that you have is like recording everything. It's like hacked by like three
That's
different
governments. That's our satellite. Why would we tattle on ourselves? Gosh. Okay, well.
One of the horn bellowers pulls his mask off. It's like, gotcha, Viridians.
Oh, no.
Knew it the entire time.
I'm in deep. Okay. Why don't, let's see. I can't know. I'm looking up to see if I can cast hold person / hold monster on these things.
Why wouldn't you be able to?
Because sometimes these mind affecting spells are language dependent. I didn't know if it was one of them. It is not.
Usually so, monster is not.
Yeah, it isn't. Well, it drives me crazy because the description for hold monster is just this spell functions as hold person except it can target any living creature. And I'm like, thanks, guys. You couldn't replicate the text on this page for me. You're the best.
Oh, boy. Stop yelling at the Starfinder development team from what they did in 2016. It was a different time then.
Yeah. All right.
We had our innocence then.
I'm going to cast hold monster on the one that's next to Jamfram. And I,
right there, right where you're standing.
Oh wait, they get attacks of opportunities, don't they? Now I gotta run away.
That's typically how it works.
Run.
Okay. Well, they're still getting their attacks of opportunity, but
yep,
probably not gonna mess up your spell.
Yep.
But where's my 20? Oh, there it is.
Oh boy.
Oh, there it is. And that 4 is probably a hit too.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead.
Critical hit. Oh gosh. I didn't put the cards away. But
I'm really paying for that synaptic pulse.
I don't get a card. Oh boy. Wait. James B, thank you so much for your support. So many folks on the flanking buddies level. Thank you guys for supporting us. James B as a boy. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. I guess, yeah, I should talk a little bit about what happened this last month. I had a, if you're not a Patreon supporter, a development blog of a game that I announced this year that I've been working on for many years, my superhero tabletop role-playing game. You can listen to the first developer's blog, which is just me talking for about an hour. How exciting is that? But if you want to hear about me making my own tabletop role-playing game, that's where you can find it. There'll be more of those throughout this year. Thank you so much for your support and for allowing me to really goof up Tyler here. So, Tyler, these are going to be bite attacks. They're going to bite you as they're moving away. A little bit of piercing damage.
Are any of these guys sickened from synaptic pulse? Or
no?
I think it's just, that's
greater. That was greater.
Oh no. I eventually get that. We're going to have fun with that later.
So okay. The regular hit is going to be...
Oh, they're only D4s. Okay, this won't be so bad.
23 points of damage.
It's still not great.
The crit is, very good too. It's double that. It's 46 points. So pretty good. Pretty average. So I'm guessing you're still up and still casting old monster. Which one are you casting it on again? The one next to Jamfram?
Oops, hold on. Sorry. I'm watching my SP disappear completely and plus some. And yeah, we're going to move. We're going to cast hold person or hold monster on the one that is confronting Jamfram.
It's hard for me not to type in hold, M-O-N-S-T-A-H, as someone who's lived in Boston for near 20 years.
Hold monster.
That's what you're casting, right? Okay, yeah, any living creature here, and it is... Okay, all right, I'm complaining as well. It's just like, hey, just treat this like hold person. It's like, well, why don't you just copy the rules?
It's not that much just, rules.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, will negates. Let me make a will save. 21, you said?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a fail.
You are frozen. Cannot take any physical actions. Can't speak.
He can think about you really you negative things, though.
Yeah. You get to spend a full action to attempt a new saving throw to end the effect at the end of its entire turn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. This spell does not provoke... Wait, or no, it says...
The full action.
The full action does not provoke attacks of opportunity. Yeah. Oh, I was about to be really upset. But yeah, you were correct.
Okay. So, Hank.
And then you want to make sure.
This one is going to rush up to the vehicle, right? Where Redacted's at, the one on the cell.
I have one more thing. I'm so sorry.
Oh, what?
I'm going to, as a swift action, I'm going to cast Phase Blade on Jamfram.
Oh, that's a swift action?
Yeah, it is.
What in the hey?
It's such a good spell.
Okay. This horn bellower is going to move up to Redacted in the mech. And the one that was nearly destroyed by Rebecca Asher and Sky herself. For me, you can make an attack of opportunity because it is going to, I guess, Tyler, you can as well. It's going to go straight for Rebecca. Might not get a chance to die from burn damage.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, 30 versus EAC.
Yeah, that is a
hit. For 28 slashing.
It had 8 hit points. It's very dead.
Yay!
It, like, falls to the ground as it's charging straight for you. Antlers, kind of... Antlers at your torso level. And then just stops a few feet in front of you, Rebecca, as... It seems like Jamfram has cut in half right before it got to you.
Well, that's not going to have helped.
Believe it or not, that would have been a hit too. But unfortunately, you're just beating up on the dead body because Jamfram is before you in the Jamfram before you in the initiative turn order. That's hilarious. Miles, this one is going to attack you with a single antler strike right through the cockpit here. What is your KAC?
Mine the cars.
Yours.
Oh, mine is 23.
I've rolled a 12. And that's going to be a hit for some damage and a little bit of sonic. This is only 22 points of damage. 3 of that is sonic. as it just clang, clang, clangs right through the vehicle to get at you. A little bit of bludgeoning, a little bit of sonic damage. That is their whole turn. And turn three, Drew, we're back to you. There's two more. Two of these horn bellowers left.
We are going to boost and shoot the one towards the south and it is attacking Renekton Scar.
Okay. All right. Let's go. Join the club, Drew. All natural 20. It's all the cool kids.
Reroll.
No. Yeah. Episode reroll. Drew earned with his 1.5
high grade narking.
Yeah.
I mean, I made
level
Tyler
9,000
so,
narking.
I made
love
Tyler so proud 2 weeks
another.
Ago with my reviving the dead that I just wanted to make him proud again.
There you go.
You make us proud, Drew.
Hey, 25. That's a hit.
All right. So
yeah.
16 plus 8, which is going to be 24.
Oftentimes 24. All right, that variant Arabuck, that horn bellower is bloodied. One on Redacted's vehicle. E. Jamprum. All right, to you.
I'm making
you
a full attack.
Right behind you, your magician buddy is holding this thing in place. He's Professor Xavier's got him locked down.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm paralyzed. Aren't helpless, although treated as having a dexterity modifier of -5. Ooh, oh boy. So
does this spell also give it that condition?
Paralyzed? Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeezers.
Well, not flat-footed at a major.
Not technically flat-footed, but... Well, it might be flat-footed, but... It's probably also flat-footed, but... But I will make a full attack. 24 points of damage.
A hit.
All right. Yeah. And do one more. Whoop. Oh.
Ooh, it was almost a 2 on a 20.
It was almost
on the 20, dice.
It was a 2. That's only a 14. But I'm attacking EAC, and it's got a -5 dexterity modifier.
Even with all of that, EAC -5. Unfortunately, the 2 is a miss. Right? Let's double check some.
Yeah. It's not taking a -5 to the dexterity. The dexterity is set to -5. The modifier.
Oh, that's very different.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's like taking like a minus like 12 or something. Or whatever it is. I don't know.
Well, let's see what happens when I set my dexterity to -5.
You are treated as having dexterity. Okay. Well, that's basically indeed a 9-point AC swing in this situation, which means that is also a hit.
Oof, oh, my goodness gracious. Thank goodness. 29. That's the purplest of hits.
If these things were smart, they'd be going after the caster, but they're not. They're big old dumb animals. That is still alive, though. Jeez. As we head to Rebecca, your turn.
All right. I'm going to shoot. Well, first I'm going to sort of jump back again behind this rocky outcropping a little bit and shoot at the one that is menacing Redacted.
Okay. Right ahead. No attack of opportunity because you are targeting it with your trick.
Mm-hmm. I also only took 5 feet, but CR 10 or lower on the trick and a 19 to attack.
Well, you could have moved more if you wanted. That is a trick, and because the trick has gone off, that is a hit.
Oh, good. Well, that's exciting. Let's see. 39.
Oh, I'm a murder machine. That's good. That's exciting.
Yeah. It's fun.
No, I've only done like 140 points of damage this combo. That's good, right, guys? How much is this round?
39 fire damage.
Do my cat. Later, it's still alive and
it
has the same amount, of hit points as our other horned bellower here. So they're both pretty darn bloodied. It's now a race. See which team can take down these two horned bellowers first. So Rebecca, no one cares about flat-footed anymore. The new game is giving things the paralyzed condition, which is brutal.
Apparently.
Absolutely brutal. Redacted, Miles, got this thing right on top of you.
Okay. It's flat-footed, correct?
It is. Cannot make attacks of opportunity. Thanks to Asher and Sky. So, the dynamic duo.
Okay. So cars go beep beeping over here.
Moving around.
Moving around. Yeah, I move around to the south part of the map and take a shot while I'm at it. And here we go. Shot time. Is that 23 to hit?
That is a hit and enough to take down the horn bellower that was attacking you. Bingo bango. Pray dear.
Revenge is a dish best served by redacted.
You got this guy under your spell. What would you like to do? What do you want to do on your turn, sir?
Can you make a fortitude save?
I hope I can. My rolls have not been agreeing with me. No, I can.
Oh, yeah.
These jumps. That's a natural one. I'm not even going to look at my modifier. No, that's a lot of damage, folks.
36.
Is this a mind scan? Mind blast?
No, you rolled fortitude. This is wither.
Oh, yes. I don't think have we gotten this off before?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. You watch as the creature kind of crumples under your mental attack, perhaps kind of melting into the snow beneath it here as ice crystals take it on over. And the wind blows fresh snow right over where the horned bellower once lived. And we are out of combat.
The nice thing about wither is also that if I have it affect a single target, I absorb some of the health that I drain.
That's nice. I've stalled this combat out long enough to make the stats for a necro saturated horned bellower that's twice as big and four times as many hit points, and so you'll have to fight that next. But I'm just kidding. That was the entire cave of horned bellowers. You killed a small co-parenting unit of these creatures, and we're out of combat. What would you guys like to do?
Can we cook one of these things?
answers to your questions will be given after you cut them up and stake them, but make them into steaks.
They're cat-like creatures. Why do you want to eat them?
They're also deer-like. It says it right there in their stats.
They, they do not look like deer. They have antlers.
Not
yeah.
What is more deer-like than
what
antlers?
What other creatures got antlers? Nothing. It's the most deer-like thing. Name one other deer-like thing that's more deer-like than antlers.
But antlers are arguably least edible part of a deer. So
giraffes. Don't.
All right, I'll give you that, Rebecca. I'll give you that. You're not noshing on antlers. Yeah, that's true.
Moose also have antlers.
Can I do a health? Can we do a health check on the Vesk?
Yes.
Also, it does drive me crazy that these things are called horned whatever, but they have antlers. They should be called antlered whatevers.
All right, calm down, Grandpa.
Do you want to make I've been looking at you.
Truly, it's been bothering me.
I can't believe it's called a horned toad. It ain't got no horns.
Do you want to make a treat deadly wounds roll or cast some kind of mystical magical spell?
Yeah, I'll cast Mystic Cure. Why not? Let's give him back some stuff.
All right, yeah. You see the Vesk's eyes open up.
Did you get one for me?
Oh, we actually got three for you.
Yeah. All right. I wanted those beasts pelts. Can you tag one and get them up on that mech you got over there?
Right, Patrick, I just want you to know. Zoom is destroying what you're saying.
What if I actually sounded like this in real life? What if I smoked 10 packs a day? I'll tone down this guy. Here we go.
As I said when we finished recording last week, my notes are to make this sound like Jabert's character from our Agents of Edgewatch game, Bark. And I believe an Intimate Orc, a classic.
Classic
character. Jabert, can you give us actual bark? Do you recall? Sorry, you're a little muted in maybe more than one place. I don't know.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give us a little bark, and I'll try to tone Esau to that.
We'll see.
Bark like big sword. Bark, kaboom. Bark, 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 bark. Figured your Esau wants
he was supposed to be like the entire party was like all animals, and so like I was like, what if he was a dog but he was an orc?
So, does that make him a dork?
a bork.
Da gork. Yeah, the podcast over there is called Zoo Crew. And
yeah.
Everyone made animal-esque characters, except for when I killed Jabert's character, he just came back with the scariest orc imaginable. Just a super murder orc. All right, yes. Brigadier Assad's like, I wanted one of those beasts.
There. Who are you all? What are you doing here? I thank you for the rescue, but I need your help getting that thing back. Getting that body back.
Oh, of course. But we're here to assist.
All right. Once we get that thing back. Well, who are you again? Sorry. I'm new to this planet. I am the Vescarium's foremost brigadier. Brigadier Isod. Isod.
Sorry, I'm going too hard on the voice. I'm trying to turn it back, but my natural thespian tendencies.
Yeah. I'm going to take four takes, but it just sounds like I'm repeating myself.
I'll fix all of this in post. I am Stragazoza Esod of the Vescaria, Brigadier and Commander of the Battlecruiser.
That was from earlier in the show.
I am
callbacks.
Brigadier.
The Third Blade is my ship, and I would love to get one of those horned or antlered creatures' heads on my hunting wall. I don't care that you guys did most of the damage to it. I'm more about the trophy than the experience.
And you did lead us to them, so I feel like you are well within
your... I did
your,
like 90% of the work.
Yeah,
set
I
up
agree.
The tee, loaded the ball, handed you a driver, yeah. Got knocked out.
Yes, no, for sure. Trophy's yours. I think it'll look great on your ship.
Okay. All right, cool. Let's head on out.
I agree.
Did you guys want to introduce yourselves to him?
Like, I did.
He knows who we are.
Oh, sorry.
He knows who we are.
Sorry, I was way in the weeds in that voice. you're from the
Vescarium, you say?
This is all talking.
You're from Viridian, I mean.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That thing hit me really hard on the head. Real hard.
I understand. I fully understand. I've been hit very hard by things on this, in this particular region as well. Yes, no, I am Praetor of Viridian. We sought to have, we sought to sit down and have discussions with you. We learned you were up in this area. We have frequented here before. Thought we could help your hunting and trophy gathering, and so came out here to assist. Glad we did.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to get back to my ship. Why don't you bring one of those beasts with you and give me a few, we'll call it a good D4 hours head start. Sounds to take good. Like a shower, some aspirin.
We'll carry it in as long as y'all cook it.
Maybe a back-to-tank. Oh, you're hungry, are you? Well, I can potentially rustle this thing up into a good meal. But yeah, first... probably gonna treat some wounds, get a quick back to tank soak in. But yes, why don't you join me on the Third Blade and we can chat about your planet's defensive capabilities.
See you in D4 hours.
Just give me a break. Give me a little bit of a head start.
4. I've rolled the maximum.
See you in 4 hours then after. And we'll load up the... I'll check and see which one of these will make the best trophy, and we'll load that one up.
Sure. Yeah, as he trundles off back to his shuttle here, his sashimono maybe flickering a bit as he walks through the storm. Are you okay, Redacted, to load this up into your mech?
Yes.
Take back to the Peregrine. Yeah, I think as you're getting it all ready to go, why don't you make a perception check, everybody?
Okay. Can I touch anybody with my tendril to do a...
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Assisted perception?
Yep.
No. I'm down to clown. Tendril up, baby.
But only if you say, let's get wiggling. Let's get wiggly, okay. Everybody.
Yeah, you have the sense of perhaps more beastly eyes somewhere in the snow, but every time you get a glimpse through the snowstorm, you see nothing there. There's just an uneasy feeling as you're loading up the creature, but you do so unperturbed, uninterrupted, and can make it back to the Peridot Peregrine. Sans any issues.
There's a cooler thing we could have hunted. Dang it. We left the real trophy out in the snow.
It's just a whole another snow crab that wants revenge for the last ice crab that you killed.
You killed my brother. I will have my revenge.
Yeah, are you guys ready to go to the after 4 hours? The third blade, the battlecruiser in orbit around New Galerion.
Think so.
Yes,
I suppose. Like
a party.
Yeah.
Aren't we told not to trust this Vest guy?
You save somebody from the snow. They're your pal for life. That's just something that, like, Patrick, when we first met, where did I save you?
The bathroom? The boys' bathroom?
No, the snow.
I don't remember snow being in there, but
there was a lot of snow.
You beat up those toughs who were giving me a hard time at the bathroom.
And we've been friends ever since because of the street toughs that both took the code name Snow.
I am so confused. But to answer Rebecca's question, we weren't warned to not trust him. We were warned to not give him ground that he takes, in negotiations, he's just vicious and he takes any little concession or,
don't let ourselves be, taken advantage of.
Yeah, he's a meaner dude that he lets on even.
Yeah. So we just have to be cautious and
vigilant.
Make sure that we don't kind of allow ourselves to be taken advantage of, because sounds like it's happened before.
Is there something we are hoping to get out of this relationship? Like, why are we talking to him?
We're talking to him because we need the Vescarium's ships to help with the Culling Shadow situation.
Right. Okay.
Because of the Absalom army being kind of still out of commission from the recent bad times, we need some Vescarium help.
Yeah.
To try and fill the gap.
Pretty much they're the only massive military that would be able to defend the planet with a plume. Because they are very militaristic. They could probably have not just battle cruisers, but dreadnoughts and carriers. and whatever Miles said. Did you say Serenity class starships?
No, it was the Nautilus. Nautilus class.
Yeah, submarines. They could have submarines here tomorrow. You will not be hounded by U-boats ever again.
I just love the idea of just some Vest sitting underwater on the planet, what are we doing here again?
Ours is not the reason why. Ours is to dive. Right. Float. All right. We'll find that out in the next adventure. As you get to the third blade, you are met with a number of Vesk military folk ready to unload the prize horn. Bellower from your vehicle, and you get to meet Nettie Javaz in person, the female Vesk envoy that you've spoken with over comms. She welcomes you to the third blade and says, It is nice to receive you, Viridian. Brigadier Assad is waiting for you in his quarters, and he has some very important negotiations and an offer to make you all. Please follow me. Trundling through the hallways of the battlecruiser, you see many an ensign and enlisted Vesk working hard on a starship. They've been cooped up here for likely more than a month, so everyone's very interested to see. I imagine you're a fairly interesting, eclectic looking bunch as they are almost entirely Vesk aboard this vessel.
You know, when you say we're eclectic looking, that's usually a code term for
weirdos, for giant weirdies,
you know, hideous troll folk.
Yeah, and indeed you are met. Well, I guess I should say, do you have any questions for the emissary, for the advisor to Brigadier Assad as you guys are walking? Nettie Jabez.
Do we know like what they've been up to? They just got to the system, right? So they really haven't done much here.
Yeah, pretty much like a day or maybe 2 days ago.
So from what assignment are you, what are you guys coming from?
We have been putting down rebels within the Vescarium for the last year. There have been pockets of revolt on Vescarium number 4. I'm Googling it. Hold on. I'm Googling it.
It's one of those numbers, you know?
It is a planet indeed. Oh gosh. Please tell me what planet it is, Archive of Memphis.
TikTok.
I won't be made a fool of.
Counting down the Vesk-E-Clock.
Vesk 6, I mean, of course.
Of course.
The haunted human jungle world of Vesk 6. Or as the natives called it, Lonus. So we have heard that indeed there were many a climbs here upon your new Galerion. And of course, as soon as we broke drift, our brigadier was very interested to get back to the icy climes of the far north in the cold shores and deserts. They spent many a year growing up hunting for small lizards and other creatures.
I'm sorry, small what?
Lizards.
Zilix will remember
another
that.
Another term you prefer?
As a lizard, I don't prefer anybody that we deal with to hunt small lizards, but you know.
They're also kind of lizards, so it's cool. True. It's
that's
cool.
That's kind of lizards. You know, that's
it's fair. Dope.
Yeah. This is cousin on cousin violence for sure.
Yeah. If you don't have any other pertinent questions, they'll lead you right to the Brigadier's office, which is a fairly austere kind of gunmetal surfaced room. And there are a number of trophy animals on the wall behind them. You see Trigrazoza Assad sitting in a large chair behind his metal desk. He kind of snorts as you come in and says, my assistants have, in the meantime, since I've taken my bath, my bubble bath, my post-hunt bubble bath, informed me of your Project Horizon these last few years, the colonization of this planet. And it seems like you all have reached your inevitable conclusion here. The you settlers have faced a few small problems and have decided to throw in the towel and come begging for the aid of the Vescarium, your much stronger neighbors.
Well, we certainly are in need of assistance from something with a bit more military oomph. I can't go fighting a war against a necrotic entity with just a bunch of settlers.
You are correct. You will need, nay, you require all of the Vescarium's might, lest you face complete annihilation from these external and internal threats. thankfully, the Vescarium is very happy to come to your rescue. Me being just the first in a long line of ships that are ready, willing, and able to come to this planet's defense. But of course, you must make this worth the Vescarium's while. You must promise a great deal in order to get our military might. And there are a whole bunch of things that we got so many things we got to ask for. Oh, you ain't negotiating down these 30% tariffs, I tell you what. Anyway, let me cut to the chase. I'm going to need just about every single colony to cut ties with your Absalom-based companies. From here on out, the colonization of this planet will be under complete Vescarium control, and you'll become a protectorate of the glorious empire. So citizenship from the pact will have to be canceled and instead drawn up under articles of incorporation beneath the Vescarium. And don't worry, we're going to completely wipe out things, the snakes in the grass that are the Aspis Consortium. Don't trust those folks as far as my tail can fling them.
I cannot blame you. Would you like to know for how long they had a spy in Viridian?
I'm sure a whole bunch of time.
That was a whole bunch of times, Brigadier General, a whole bunch of times.
Hey, see, hokum like that we don't allow in the Vescarium.
I appreciate that. I actually, you know, I will be honest with you, Brigadier General. I would have no issue seeing the Vescarium taking over the various settlements here and flagshipping the colonization of this planet. I mean, certainly we have received a waning amount of resources from Absalom, but I mean. And I suppose I can provide you with the details, but our contracts simply do not allow us to just cancel them.
Yes, no, you would be breaking the contracts and basically telling these stupid companies in Absalom to kick rocks. Kick big rocks.
Kick big rocks. I like that. And if we
the other option is, you know, you guys dying, so there's that.
True. That's true, but us all dying is generally bad news for the Vescarium and everyone else involved. In fact, I mean, the Vescarium has a colony here. They already have a very successful foothold on the planet. So not only would you have lost all the investments that have been put into that planet, but any further efforts would be halted. Losses would be, I mean, I assume the sponsors back in Vescarium would be very displeased. So
I'm tired of hearing you talk and not agree with what I was saying 100%. We would evacuate all of Triumph Colony and allow everyone on this planet to die after that. And then just come back and take over the planet after everyone died. You see, there's not really a scenario here where the Vescarium won't be taking over New Galerion. So I think you to chew on that. Just turn that over in your mind.
I think it's a great plan, Brigadier General. I just would like to remind you that every 100 years you would have to evacuate the entire planet and bring them all back, all at a great expense to the Vescarium, because the entity returns every 100 years and it leaves behind vast swaths of fatal, fatal radiation. So there would be actually some new areas of Galarian that would be uninhabitable once the entity passed through every 100 years. It's still a good plan, but it would become at a very increasingly, escalatingly large financial burden on Vescarium to evacuate the whole planet every single year, versus if we just, you know, do what we do best, point guns at the bad things and get rid of them once and for all.
The Brigadier stands up and very, very loudly scooches his metal chair back on the metal crown, just
I'm very tired. I think these negotiations are over for today. You don't quite seem to grasp it, so I'll allow you perhaps 24, 48,
137 hours or so to think over what I have said. Once again, death or Viscarium, those are the options. And we can return once you have cooled down and calmed down. Goodbye.
We appreciate your time, Brigadier General.
It is a shame, Praetor, that you are correct. The Vesk have seemed to have lost all bravery and strength these last few decades. It was really the wrong move for us to ask them for any aid whatsoever.
Oh my gosh, this
got him.
This Gray is completely right. I am 100% going to rest on the... I'm so concerned with my own honor that, you know what, I'm not even going to accept that horned bellower that you killed in my set. I'm just kidding. I don't care. I'm going to chop that thing's head off and pretend that I killed it. You're gone. Goodbye. Oh, yeah. And one more thing. To be continued.
No.
Yeah. I'm so over this negotiation. The episode's also over.
We will... Know.
I think Asher and Sky listening to this whole conversation is now convinced, thanks to Praetor, that we should just cut ties with Viridian. I mean, this is just going to keep happening every 100 years. Maybe we should all just leave.
Oh,
yeah. Boy. We've all picked up some very marketable skills.
And book six gonna be so short.
I would remind Asher and Sky of that contract again. those pesky contracts that are the main reason why we're here.
And Vesk just told us we could break our contracts. This seems like an opportunity.
We got no repercussions.
Yeah, but I mean, it does not seem that. Like a bad plan business wise. You know, like.
The contract isn't like, oh, we'll kill you if you like quit. It's just like you'll probably get fined.
And we have a ton of money that we can pay off those fines. I'm not what Jeff Bezos's hedge. I can't do that.
Jeff Bezos's hedge. Look at this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you guys could just leave and we can start anew and you could do Fly Free or Die for a campaign with these characters instead. We could just start book six of Fly Free or Die. Pretend like you've been free space truckers the entire time. But then everyone you'll ever have known will be dead.
There is that.
Every single character. Yeah, that's
all these NPCs that we definitely know all the names for.
Like hey. Bronfer Dramberndar
and Oob.
I'll give you one hero point right now if you can name an actual NPC from Viridian. Yeah, there you go. Wow, it wasn't that hard, was it, Drew? I'm just kidding. I'm not giving you pity points. That's going to do it for this week's episode, guys. Thank you for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Better get there.
Listeners, thanks for listening. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers. This has been one of the crit heaviest episodes in this campaign so far. I guess we've probably beat three once, but not very. Thank you so much for supporting us, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you on next week's episode. Crit.
Bye-bye.
Listening to Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.